Rabbi Bednarsh, Aram and Reitz's YU Israel Kolel, the YU Kolel program in Israel, holds the Ruth Buchbinder Mitzner Chair in Talmud and Jewish Law of Yeshiva University. He earned his bachelor's degree at Princeton University, a master's degree in Jewish history at Bernard Revel, and received smicha from Reitz. Rabbi Bednarsh.
Thank you.
Bershus, Mori Varabi, the Chashev Rabbanim. Today, I'd like us to learn together the sugya of Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim, the question of whether and in what fashion the city of Yerushalayim was split up with the rest of Eretz Yisrael and divvied up to the individual Jews, or does it remain some sort of, those of us from America recognize DC, public property? The Gemara brings down a machloket tanaim about this. The first makor on the page, the Gemara in Yoma, the same Gemara appears in Megillah Daf Chaf Vav, brings down a machlokes v'atanya achuzaschem achuzaschem etam benegoyim ve'in Yerushalayim etam benegoyim. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, ani lo shamati el makom mikdash bilvad. The Chachamim hold that all the other cities of Eretz Yisrael have the halacha of Tumas Batim, Tzaras Habayis. Tzaras on a house applies to other cities, but not to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim's not your city. Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, even in Yerushalayim, there's Tzaras of houses. Only the Beis HaMikdash, not Matama Ben Goyim. But my Kamifli, the Gemara asks, what are they? They're arguing about whether in Yerushalayim, if a house gets what appears to be Tzaras, does the din of Tzaras apply? Okay, not so lemaisa for us. But what are they really arguing about? The first opinion that Chacham holds, Yerushalayim was not divvied up. Yerushalayim is the city that belongs to Klal Yisrael. Therefore, it's not a chuzaschem. It's not anyone's personal heritage. So, the laws of Tumas Saras, for whatever reason, don't apply to something that's not private property. While Rabbi Yehuda holds Yerushalayim nischalka l'shvatim, it is private property. So all the halachas apply to Yerushalayim, same as every other place. The Gemara continues to plug the Dahani Tanoi. There's another machlokas Tanoim about this issue. The Tanya Maya Bechelko Shel Yehuda Harabais Halishkos Vazoros, Humaya Bechelko Shel Binyamin Ulam Vehechol Beiskotche Kadoshim. This Braisa holds Yerushalayim was split up amongst the Shvatim, because the Braisa says which part belonged to which Shevet. And the answer is the rest of Harabayis and the offices and the Azara, the yard of the Beis HaMikdash belonged to Yehuda, while the actual building with its vestibule with the Kodesh Kadoshim belonged to Binyamin, the Mizbeach. We'll see. Ritzua ha'isa yotzim yichalko shal Yehuda v'nehesed l'chalko shal Binyamin ba'ad yam Mizbeach banui. V'Binyamin ha'tzadik ha'yim tzara l'alavala b'chol yom sh'nemer ha'chofev alav kol ha'yom. Fikach zaka Binyamin ha'tzadik na'ashe u'shpizchan l'gvura sh'nemer v'en k'sefav shachain. Now, this is a little unclear. The Mepharshim deal with exactly who owned the land under the Mizbeach. At least some of the land on which the Mizbeach was located belonged to Shevet Yehuda. He had sort of incursion. The border went out into the Shevet of Binyamin, and Binyamin was very upset about this and really wanted that makom. And therefore, he was deserving of being the host of the Shechinah. In any case, this Braisa holds that half of Yerushalayim was Yehuda's, part of it was Yehuda's, part of it was Binyamin, so obviously it was split up among the Shvatim. But, v'haytan asav Yerushalayim lo neschalka l'shvatim, t'tanya, in maskirin batim Yerushalayim, v'she'ena shelahen. So that first opinion holds like Rabbi Yehuda was split up. But this second braisa holds like the Chacham, it wasn't split up. Because it says you're not allowed to rent out your house in Yerushalayim. I have a house in Yerushalayim. Someone wants to come and visit the Beis HaMikdash. I have to let them stay for free. I can't charge rent. Why can't I charge rent? Because it's not my house. It's public property. Can't charge rent for public property. So that's the other opinion that says Yerushalayim was not nischalka l'shvatim, was public property. Which of these two opinions do we paskin like? So the Gemara in a few places, in Yom and Megillah brings down a machlokas about this, but in a few other places in Shas, Gemara only brings down the opinion of Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim. It sounds like that opinion, Tanakam, the Chachamim, is the mainstream opinion. The Gemara in Bava Kama, we won't read inside, number 2, tells us 10 halachos that apply to Yerushalayim, and 4 of them, in a bayis nechlepa, the halacha we just read in Parshas Bahar, that in a walled city, if you sell a house, you have 12 months to redeem it, and if you don't, it belongs to the new guy forever, that doesn't apply. And Egla Rufa, the din of Egla Rufa, if you find a dead body, Yerushalayim doesn't bring in Egla Rufa. Irani Dachas, if the Jerusalemites worship Avodah Zarah, it doesn't become an Irani Dachas. And Metam v'Negarim, the laws of Tzaras of houses don't apply there. Why? The Gemara Darshins, because in each of these 4 halachos, the Torah says, we need to concern us now why. It applies to Arecha, to Achuzasim, to your property. If Yerushalayim's loan is Chalka L'Shvatim, if it's not anyone's property, all the regular halachos don't apply. The Rambam passes that way as well, in marker number 9, which we'll get to, that you can't charge rent in Yerushalayim, and all these various halachos that depend on private property, like Egla Rufa, and Irani Dachas, and Betama ben Negoyim, and Bayis Cholopa don't apply to Yerushalayim. So that's how we paskin. Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim. Seems, at this point, fairly simple. Zemach locus, was Yerushalayim, just like every place else, split up when Yoshua split up the land, or was it not? And we paskin it wasn't. It's public property. It belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. Even before we get to the Rambam and Rashi, etc., can anyone think of perhaps a problem that we might have in understanding this Shita? Is there anything that might stand in contradiction to this Shita? Okay, so there's the what to think about in terms of the Psukim. If you look, I quoted some of the Psukim here, number 4, 5, and 6, the Chazon Ish here. As we know, the Chazon Ish's Derech was very Pshat-oriented. He always liked to read things to Kepshuto, even if, you know, some of the Rishonim didn't read that way. It didn't bother him very much. And he pointed out that the Psukim actually sound like Yerushalayim was Nischalka L'Shvatim, was split up. We Paskin it wasn't. The Psukim sort of sound like it was. I just quoted a few of the Psukim he brings. Number 4 talks about Yivusi Yosh Yerushalayim lo yuchlu b'nei Yehuda lo risham. B'nei Yehuda couldn't drive out and conquer Yerushalayim. The implication is clearly B'nei Yehuda should have conquered Yerushalayim. Why B'nei Yehuda? Because it was theirs. Likewise, in number 6, from Shoftim, it says, B'nei Binyamin couldn't drive out the Yevusim from Yerushalayim, implying that it was Binyamin's. That's not a problem that it would be both Binyamin's and Yehuda's, because we've seen it was split. So Yehuda couldn't conquer their half, and Binyamin couldn't conquer their half. Not only that, in number 5, the Sefer Yoshua, the second half of Sefer Yoshua, it's a lot of geographical details to the exact boundaries with which Yoshua split up the different Shvatim. And it lists in Yoshua Yudches Chav Aleph, Vayuarim Latevin Binyamin, what were the walled cities, the important cities in Chelik of Binyamin? It says Yericho, we're familiar with Yericho, Beis Chogla, Imek Tzitz. I skipped 6 psukim that just list more cities. Then Chav Ches Vitzela Elef Vayivusi Yerushalayim, Yevusi, which is Yerushalayim, right? The Yevusim used to live there then. Givas Kiryat Arim Arba, Givat Kiryat Arim Arba, Srevichat Srehan, Zos Nachalas Binyamin Yamin, Lemishbuchotam. Binyamin Yamin had these 14 cities, among which was Yerushalayim. Sounds pretty clearly like Yerushalayim was Nitchalka Lishvatim. So, what do we do with that? Anyone? At least one person's going to have to volunteer to participate at some point. So maybe it was originally split, and then it was originally given to Yehuda and Binyamin.
It was territory that belonged to a Shevet until a capital district was carved out.
Great. Okay, which is exactly what happened historically with Washington, D.C. I mean, not that proves one way or the other, but Taka, that's how it worked out. So that's quite possible, and is maybe you could say that at first it was split up to Yehuda and Binyamin. And then later, they took a little from you, done a little Binyamin, and bought it on behalf of Klal Yisrael. If so, that would explain very nicely the sheet of the Rambam, perhaps, because if you look at the Rambam, we'll come back to some of the Tosfos on this page, number 9, The Rambam paskins all the dinim of Yerushalayim lo nechalkal l'shvatim. Very, very clearly, again, you can't rent out your house. All these various halachot, v'yoni dachat, egla rufa, chilot habayit, and nigaim don't apply. But the Rambam paskins in number 10, quoting a Gemara in Zvachim. The Gemara is actually number 3. Yesod hamizbeach lo yamakif me'ar baruch otav kama asovev, ela yasod mishoch, k'nege kobroch zafonim araviv, ochel b'darom ma'achat, v'mizracha ma'achat, v'kerem domit mizrachit, lo yalo yesod. The Mizbeach had a Yesod, had a base. The way the Mizbeach worked is there was like a little base that went up a little from the ground, and then in, then they built a little more, and went in, they built a little more, and it went all the way up to the top. That base of the Mizbeach only covered the north and the west sides, and the northwest corner, the southwest, the northeast corner, but the southeast corner did not have a Yesod. The southeast corner didn't have any base. Why not? Why didn't they finish the Mizbeach? Why did they leave it unfinished? Right? It looks a little funny. You got like a square in the middle, and then there's a little base around part of the square, and then it's missing there. So why didn't they finish the job? So the Kesef Mishnah, we don't know what the Rambam would say, but the Kesef Mishnah quotes the Gemara in Zvachim. There's only one opinion in Shas about this. Kesef Mishnah quotes the Gemara in Zvachim, and he says, number 11, Yisodim zveach v'gomer per gimel demidos nana yisodim mahalach al pnei kol atzavim al pnei kol amar ve'ochel b'dorim ama achas mizrach ama achas perik ezel makoman armina and keren mizrachas romas lo hayilo yisod my tama. Why didn't the southeast corner of the mizbeach have a base? Amar belaza lefish lo haya bechelko shel toreif, because it was not in the chelek of the tribe which is called the shevet called the toreif. Which shevet is a toreif? Binyamin Zeiv Yitrof says in Parshat Vayechi, that's what he explains. The Amar of Shulam Barav Yisam Zbech Ochel B'chel Kishol Yuda Amo Pirsh Rashi Torif Binyamin Dichsib Zeiv Yitrof Shin Snabi Lov Yaakov Aboki Yochalad Bachasante Yis B'nei Mad B'cha, that's the Unkelos V'yotza Akeren, etc. So the Kesef Mishnah explains that Binyamin Zeiv Yitrof Baboki Yochalad V'lev Yechalek Shalal, which Unkelos translates to mean that the Mizbech had to be built on Binyamin's portion. But remember, there was a little piece of Yehuda that also stole some of the Mizbeach. That piece of Yehuda stole the southeast corner of the Mizbeach. So part of where the Mizbeach was, the southeast corner, was in Shevet Yehuda. But you're not allowed to build a Mizbeach on Shevet Yehuda, only Binyamin. So they left out that part of the Mizbeach because it wasn't in Shevet Binyamin. Okay, the details needn't concern us now, but one thing is clear. According to the Rambam, at least as interpreted by the Kesef Mishnah, if the whole reason they built the Mizbeach so funny is because, you know, part of it was in Chelek Binyamin and the one corner was in Chelek Yehuda, then obviously Yerushalayim was split up among the Shvatim. But the Rambam Paskin Yerushalayim wasn't split up among the Shvatim. So what are we to do with this? So maybe this is what some of the Achronim begin to answer. They suggest that originally, it was split up among the Shvatim, half to Binyamin and half to Yehuda. But then, you know, originally, Pshuto Shel Mikra, at least, was that originally Klal Yisrael had no idea that Yerushalayim would be the Makom of the Shekhinah. Vic mentioned, it doesn't say Yerushalayim in the Torah. It talks about Yerushalayim many times in the Torah, but it doesn't say where it'll be. Klal Yisrael had Pshuto Shel Mikra had no idea where it would be. There would be a Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem. They were waiting for Hashem to be Bocher, to choose that Makom, which would be the Makom the Chumash talked about. But who knew where that Makom would be? Probably everyone had their own opinion. Everyone wanted it in their backyard. Eventually, they found that it was Yerushalayim. So meanwhile, maybe, they split up to Yerushalayim between Yehuda and Yamin. But when David HaMelech realized, through Nevuah, that this was the place that Josh Alpinavi, that Hashem chose for his eternal home, they took it back. They confiscated it, or they bought it back from Yehuda and Yamin, and made it into this, not extraterritorial from this world, but at least extraterritorial in terms of Shvatim, into a national area, a Klal Yisrael area of Lo Nechalkal Shvatim. Then the Rambam would work out. When they first built it, they couldn't build the Mizbeach there because it wasn't in the Chelek of Binyamin. But after, once they already did build it and they bought out Binyamin and bought out Yehuda, then there's no more private property in Yerushalayim, and that explains the Psakim of the Rambam. So maybe the Rambam holds, and that would fit with the Psukim, that originally it was split up. Lo Nechalka doesn't mean it was never split up. It was split up originally. But it was subsequently acquired on behalf of Klal Yisrael. If so, he would be disagreeing with Tosfot. Because Tosfot said, if you look back at Mokra number 7, Don't say that originally it was split among the Shvatim, and then later they traded Yericho for it, because Yericho had been sitting as a ruin until then. And then later they traded Yericho for it, or later they just acquired it on behalf of Klal Yisrael, they bought them out. Don't say it was once split up and then later on acquired on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Tosfot says, Lo nitchalka l'shvatim means it was never split up at all. What is Tosfot going to do with the psukim that say it was split up? Not sure. Maybe he'll say Lav Davka didn't really mean it was split up. Or maybe he'll say, like, Martin Erich and Daf Lamed Beis, there were two places called Yerushalayim, and that's referring to one, and we're referring to the other. Tosfot will have to deal with it. But, just one second, we have a machloket then between the Rambam and Tosfot. Tosfot holds, we paskin lo nitchalka l'shvatim, Yerushalayim was not split up. But what does that mean? Tosfot says it means it was literally never split up. Of course, for Tosfot, the problem arises. If it was never split up, so there is no Yehuda, there is no Binyamin, so why didn't they finish the southeast corner of the Mizbeach? No problem, Tosfot himself asked that question, number 8. And Tosfot, Masechet Yoman, says, all right, must be there's a special nevuah not to build the southeast corner of the base of the Mizbeach. We don't have to understand the reason. Must be some deep, mystical, metaphysical reason that Hashem told him through Nevuah not to build the southeast corner of the Mizbeach. Nothing to do with Shvatim. Tosfot Shita is glot, it's clean. Yerushalayim was never split up among the Shvatim. Let the Psukim say what they may. The Rambam, on the other hand, perhaps holds the beginning of a way to understand his Shita, that it was originally split up among the Shvatim, but then later on it was acquired on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Okay, that needn't bother me. By the time Yerushalayim was chosen, there was a king, David. David, right? We still call him David Melech Yisrael. So, Lechora, king. I mean, nowadays we're not used to kings. We have all kinds of elected governments and such. But king is, and elected governments often work much better than kings. But one thing, a king is very efficient. When he does things, there's no red tape, no bureaucracy to go through. He doesn't have to file any forms, doesn't have to wait for approvals. The king wants to acquire on behalf of Klal Yisrael. He is the representative of Klal Yisrael, right? Certainly, at the very least, in the Jewish idea of a king, the king is not someone who's in power over others for the sake of his own enrichment, but the king is representative of Klal Yisrael. So that needn't bother me. Now, what actually is the yesod of this machlokas in Tosfot and the Rambam? It's not 100% clear, but perhaps Tosfot says in number 7 at the end, where I underline, Tosfot says it's impossible to say what we've been suggesting for the Rambam. There is no logic to suggest that it was originally split up between Yehudim and Yamin and then later acquired on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Why was there no logic? Why is that impossible? As we just said for the Rambam and for the Psukim, maybe it was originally split up and then acquired on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Tosfot says impossible, there's no logic to that. It's impossible to think that might be true. Why? So the Brisker Rav explains in his last piece in the Rambam, Silchus Beis HaBechira, the Brisker Rav explains that once it's split up between Yehuda and Binyamin, once it's split up among Shvatim, that can't be reversed. Once I delineate the states of Medinat Yisrael at that time, right, there were 12 states for the 12 Shvatim, once I delineate which Shevet is which, I can't go back. That's unalterable. Of course, I, as a private citizen, I might be a Zvulunite, and if I'm a real estate tycoon, I could buy up half of Asher, right? And someone from Binyamin could invest in real estate in Menasha. But that would just mean it's owned by that person. That wouldn't mean it's the territory, perhaps even sovereign territory, although that may be going a little too far. It's still the territory. If this Zvulunite buys real estate in Asher, it's still the territory of Asher. It's the Chelek of Asher. It just happens to be owned by a Zvulunite. So Tosfot says, no, if Yerushalayim lo nitzchalka l'shvatim, it means it's not part of any Shevet's, as we Americans would say, state. It's not part of any Shevet's territory. The only way to ensure it's not part of a Shevet's territory is to say it was never split up. Because once it's split up with the Urim V'tumim and the Goral, etc., in the time of Yoshua, No human act can undo the division of the Urim V'Tumim in the time of Yoshua. So Tosot Shita is that historically it was never split up, because if it had been split up, there would be no reason, it wouldn't help for them to take it back from Yehudim and Yamin, because you cannot alter the divisions made by Yoshua. What does the Rambam hold then? Briskarev doesn't explain. Here he only explains Tosot. Doesn't deal with the Rambam, at least according to the Kesef Mishnah. Agav the Smag, we won't get into it, says the same thing. Either the Rambam holds perhaps you can alter the divisions of Yoshua and take things away from the Chalukah of Yehudim and Yamin, or perhaps, this is a Rambam Lishitase, perhaps the Rambam might admit that Yerushalayim was really split up between Yehudim and Yamin. Maybe he'll admit part of it belonged to Yehuda, part of it belonged to Binyamin. On what grounds would he do so? Though it doesn't seem to fit the Sugya and Yoma, the Ovos to Rabbi Nassan, which is Makor number 15, says at the same time that Mikol Shivtechem Darshins, Mikol Shivtechem Zo Yerushalayim Shekol Yisrael Shutfin Ba, all of the Jews have to own Yerushalayim together. And the very next word says in the second paragraph of 15, Kosav Echadom Rechad Shvatech, Kosav Echadom Mikol Shivtechem, Bachad Shvatechem Zeh Shevet Yehudim Ben Yamin, Mikol Shivtechem Zo Yerushalayim Shekol Yisrael Shutfin Bo. It says it has to be in Yehudim Ben Yamin, but all the Jews have to be Shutfin in it. Hold on, if it's in Yehudim Ben Yamin, how can all the Jews be partners? And then it says, Ma'ya b'chelko shel Yehuda, harabayis ha'lishkos v'azorah, so Ma'ya b'chelko shel Binyamin, ha'ichal v'olam beit kodshei kodashim v'chulei. On the one hand, it says it belongs to Yehudim and Yamin, then it says it belongs to all the Jewish people. And then the Avot Rabbi Nassan says that half of it belongs to Yehuda, half of it belongs to Binyamin. What's pshat? Maybe the Rambam, inspired by Avot Rabbi Natan, took a compromise position and said that it was split up between Yehudim and Yamin. Half of it belongs to Yehuda, half of it is in the territory of Yehuda, half of it is in the territory of Binyamin. If we may be bold, we would even say half of it is in the sovereignty of Yehuda, half of it is in the sovereignty of Binyamin. But it was then bought out by Klal Yisrael. It's still in the territory of Yehuda. It's still in the territory of Binyamin. But it's owned by Klal Yisrael, right? The federal government could build an army base in Montana. It's in the territory of Montana, but it's owned by the federal government. There's what territory you're in. There's a different question of who owns it, right? Something could be an usher and owned by a Zvulunite, and something could be Montana and owned by the federal government, if it's an army base or a post office. And something could be half in the chelik of Yehud and half in the chelik of Binyamin, but owned by all of Klal Yisrael, b'shutfus, owned in partnership of all of Klal Yisrael. Perhaps the machloket between the Rambam and Tosfot is that Tosfot holds Yerushalayim lo nitchal l'shvatim means it's not in the territory of any shevet, so it was never split up between the shvatim. The Rambam holds it's just not owned by any shevet. It's in the territory of a shevet. It's in half in the territory of Binyamin, half in the territory of Yehuda. That's whose territory it's in. Separate question from who owns it, but who owns it? It's owned by all of Klal Yisrael because they bought out Yehuda and Binyamin. We're not going to go into this now, but the Brisker Rav says that really, ownership doesn't seem to be relevant here. It's only relevant when it comes to Mikdash, to Kodshim, after Mishal Tzibur, the big Dekun of the Mikdash. Perhaps the Rambam's Lushitase, you can go home and look at 21 and 22. The Rambam says, why is Yerushalayim lo nechal kal shvatim? Because it's a makom avodah for Klal Yisrael. It's a place where we serve Hashem avodah in the Beit HaMikdash. The Rambam might be Lushitase, that he holds, famously, in the Parish Mishnayis Sukkah and Rosh Hashanah, that all of Yerushalayim is called Mikdash. Right? They only blew shofar on Shabbos in the Mikdash. The Rambam says it means all Yerushalayim. You used to only pick up a lulav 7 days in the Mikdash. Rambam says it means Yerushalayim. Derech Rechoka, someone's putter from Karban Pesach, they're far away from the Mikdash. The Rambam says it means far away from Yerushalayim. Now you don't have to go home, I told it to you. But perhaps one could be Mechadish. Perhaps one could suggest that the Rambam, specifically, according to his personal understanding, that Yerushalayim is not just a capital city. It's part of the Mikdash. If it's part of the Mikdash, it would make sense that it has to be, it doesn't matter whose territory it's in, but it has to be owned by Klal Yisrael, just like the walls of the Mikdash and the clothing the Kohanim wear in the Mikdash and the Karbanos brought in the Mikdash have to be owned by Klal Yisrael. Yerushalayim has to be owned by Klal Yisrael. In any case, though, we have so far two understandings of Yerushalayim lo nechal kal shvatim. One Tosos, who takes it to its logical extreme and says it was never split up at all. It never had anything to do with any Shevet or any private Jew. It's just public Klal Yisrael property. And number two, the Rambam, who, as explained by the Kesef Mishnah, who, as we've explained, might hold that in terms of what state it's in, it's half in the territory of Yehuda, half in the territory of Binyamin. That's not a problem. But it's owned by all of Klal Yisrael. It's okay for Yerushalayim to be in the territory of Shvatim. As long as it's not owned by individual Jews, it's owned by Klal Yisrael. There may be a third approach as well, though this would be a little radical. Rashi has two peculiar comments on this sugya. One of them is Makor number 16, Rashi and Bava Kamma. Although granted, Rashi and Erechin says differently. Rashi and Bava Kamma says, Ein habayit chalutba. One of the halachas that doesn't apply to Yerushalayim, because we hold it wasn't split up, is the halacha that if you sell a house after 12 months, you can't redeem it anymore. Right? In the old days, if I sold my field, I could redeem it, and if I didn't, it would come back in Yovel. Can't redeem a house in Yerushalayim. What does Rashi comment? Kedin ein habayit chalutba kedin batei arei choma elagulat yalom yirtzeh legol v'yimagia yovel yotzei v'yovel k'batei arei chatzibin. He says the laws of houses in walled cities don't apply to Yerushalayim. It's like a field, or actually like a house in the field. You can redeem it whenever you want, and if you don't redeem it, you get it back in the Yovel. What's the problem with this, Rashi? What's the problem with this, Rashi? Okay, so Rashi is an exception, because since it's not yours, it wasn't split up, it doesn't belong to you, so this halacha doesn't apply. Okay, but let's be more specific. What does Rashi say again? Since it doesn't belong to us, it wasn't split up to the Shvatim, no one owns it, therefore the halacha of after 12 months the sale is permanent doesn't apply, and you always get your house back when you sell it. What? What do you mean? He just said no one owns a house. If no one owns a house, how do you sell it in the first place, and why do you get it back in Yovel? So Rashi, it doesn't seem to make any sense. That's what the other Rishonim say in 17, the Shidu and Gebetzes, quotes the Ramah and others, who say no. What the Gemara means is you can't sell a house in the first place, so it's not even worth talking about what happens when you sell a house. Most Mefarshim say you just can't sell a house in Yerushalayim because you don't own it. So there's nothing to talk about. Rashi says, not only, even though you don't own Yerushalayim, he says you can sell a house. Who are you to sell it? Not only that, but if you do sell the house, you get it back in the Yovel, and you can redeem it whenever you want. Who are you to sell it in the first place and then to ask for it back? Aha. Good. Okay, don't steal the whole ending. You gotta leave me something. Aha, beautiful. Absolutely. Let me bring another proof for that. Let's look at Rashi number 18. It says, Ein maskirin balei batimet batehem. Homeowners, or householders rather, can't rent out their houses lo'olei regalim to pilgrims. Right? Pilgrims don't mean people in the Mayflower with funny hats. Pilgrims actually mean people who make a pilgrimage come to visit the Shechina in Yerushalayim, olei regalim. Elavachina nosmem nechzasim tocha. And you have to let the pilgrims into your house for free. You can't charge rent from olei regalim. What's the implication of this, Rashi? You can't charge rent from people making aliyah l'regel. But the implication is, you can charge rent the rest of the year, right? The regel is only a few weeks. Chanukah and Purim, you can charge rent. So, now, the question is, if you don't own it, how can you charge rent? Obviously, there's a pattern here in Rashi. Rashi Bava Kamma says, you can sell it and then get it back in Yovel. Rashi in Megillah says, implies that you can charge rent all year long. Now, the truth is, the Chazanish doesn't specifically mention all this, but deals with this. Truth is, his brother-in-law, the Stipler Gaon in the Kilos Yaakov in the second Siman of Shvius, has a different approach, Ayin Shum. But the Chazon Ish explains that maybe Rashi has, at least what we'll call for now, the most watered-down understanding of Yerushalayim, Lo Nechalka L'Shvatim. Rashi says, again, we said Tosfot said it was not split up in the territory of Shvatim at all. The Rambam held it was split up under the sovereignty or at least territory of different Shvatim, but in terms of ownership, it was owned by Klal Yisrael. Maybe Rashi holds it was both split up in the territory of Shvatim and owned by Klal Yisrael. So in what respect was it lo nechalkal Shvatim? The Chazan Ish suggests, this is in Yom HaSimon Kuf Chav Vav, that really there is territorial territory of a Sheva in Yerushalayim, and there's private ownership in Yerushalayim. So what does it mean it wasn't split up? It says all this means that of course we own Yerushalayim, but our ownership is bounded and limited by the needs of Klal Yisrael to serve Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash. Lo nitchalkal shvatim means lo nitchalkal legamre. We don't totally own Yerushalayim. If you live in Tveri, you own your house legamre. We're not getting into eminent domain by now, right now, but you own your house 100%. If you live in Bnei Brak, you own your house 100%. If you live in Yerushalayim Taki, you own your house. You can sell it and get it back. You can charge rent when it's not Yontif. But your ownership is limited by the needs of Klal Yisrael in the Beis HaMikdash. The national needs of Klal Yisrael to serve Hashem and have a makom for Hashem override, not only that, constitute a shiur in override your private ownership. For Rashi, maybe that's what lo nechalkal shvatim means. It wasn't divided up the way we usually think of things. It was divided up subject to the needs of Klal Yisrael and the Mikdash. That's why when they actually built the Beis HaMikdash, they can build it wherever they want. And when it's a mitzvah to come to the Beis HaMikdash, like Olei Regalim, they have the right to stay in your house for free. If someone Stam wants to stay in Yerushalayim, you could charge them rent. It's your property when we're not talking about the needs of Klal Yisrael to build a Mikdash. But your property has to take second place, your personal property rights take second place to the needs of Klal Yisrael to serve Hashem in the Mikdash. If so, we have three understandings of Yerushalayim lo nechalkal shvatim. Tosfot says it wasn't split up at all. There's no shayachut of shvatim. The Rambam perhaps says, based on the Brisker Rav, that there is territory of shvatim, but there's no private ownership. It's owned by the public, Klal Yisrael. Rashi holds it's part of the Shvatim, and it's owned by the people from that Shvatim. The descendants of those people in Yehuda who got that exact portion still own their houses. The descendants of the Benjaminites who got that portion still own their houses. But your ownership is not a full ownership. That's why these random halachas do not apply. Your ownership is not a full ownership because it's bounded, limited, and overruled by the needs of Klal Yisrael to build the Beis HaMikdash and come to the Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem at the proper times. Rashi at first sounds like the most watered-down version of we thought Lo Nechalkal Shvatim was such a beautiful idea. Here he says, Nechalka, just, you know, you have to sacrifice a little. But perhaps there's something to it. If I can speak for a few moments, B'derech Drush, can I ask, what is Yerushalayim all about? Why do we, wherever we are in the world, whether we're in Tveria, Be'er Sheva, Rehovot, Tel Aviv, whether we're in Australia, Norway, or Alaska, we all daven towards Yerushalayim. So I was probably told in kindergarten or something that we all daven to Yerushalayim because, as we know, Yerushalayim Shalmata is Mechuvan Keneged Yerushalayim Shalmala. Yerushalayim is the gateway between the earth and heavens. It's the Shar HaShamayim. And if our tefillos want to go up to Hashem, they go up through Yerushalayim. That's probably true. But that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara talks about it. Number 23, Brachos Daf Lamed. The Gemara points out that wherever you are, you face Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash. And the second underlined part tells us, so what? Why do we all face Yerushalayim? Nimtzal Meid B'Mizrach Machzir Panav L'Ma'arav, B'Ma'arav Machzir Panav L'Mizrach, B'Darom Machzir Panav L'Safom, Safom Machzir Panav L'Darom, Nimtzu'u Kol Yisrael Mechav Nimet Libam L'Makom Echad. In South Africa, we face north. And in Siberia, we face south. And in Japan, we face west. In New York, we face east. All the Jews are facing the same way when they daven. All Jews, no matter where they are in the world, all the differences between them, are all davening together towards the same place. That's what they darshim and tell Talpiyot. It's the mountain where everyone speaks to, where everyone davens towards. Yerushalayim has the power of turning our private tefillot into a tefillah of Klal Yisrael. All of Klal Yisrael davens together. How so? They're separated by 10,000 miles because they're all davening towards Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim apparently is a me'ached, is a unifier of Klal Yisrael. not only in the davening sense, but number 25 in the halachic sense, when the Gemara, when the Parsha in Re'eh talks about Makom HaShem Yivchar HaShem, how important it is to come, when the Beit HaMikdash will be built in the Makom HaBechira, to come to that Beit HaBechira, says, Lo tasun kechol asher anachnu osin po yom ish kol hayashar be'inav. Pashup Shat, let not everyone do things their own way. Every Jew shouldn't do things their own way. How do we make sure every Jew doesn't do things their own way? Because we have a center, Yerushalayim, which unites the Jewish people, make sure they're all practicing the same religion. Nowadays, unfortunately, we look around at Judaism, and we know what is the most upsetting phenomenon in the Jewish world nowadays? In the from Jewish world nowadays, even without getting into assimilation and intermarriage v'chuli, the most upsetting phenomenon in the from world is sectarianism. There's 30 different types of Jews, right? And there's divisions and subdivisions and sub-subdivisions and, you know, Hasidim and Misnagdim and Zionist and anti-Zionist and Haredi and modern and whatever you call it, to the point where, you know, people tell me I'm registering for a dating site on the internet. How do I know if I'm left-wing yeshivish or right-wing modern Orthodox? Because then you get to date different girls. So, I mean, it's funny and it's sad, but it wasn't always that way. There used to be no machloket b'Yisrael. There was difference. There was healthy difference. But there was the Sanhedrin Lishkat HaGazit. There was the Sanhedrin Yerushalayim, which unified Klal Yisrael, which paskin one halacha, which everyone followed. There was a central authority. That's Ki Mitzion Teitse Torah. Doesn't mean you can't learn Torah from any place but Yerushalayim. I mean, there are great yeshivas in New York. It means that if you want Teitse Torah, one Torah to come out, that can only come out of Yerushalayim, which unifies Am Yisrael. Not only does Yerushalayim have the power to transcend our petty differences, some of these silly things we fight over, Yerushalayim apparently even has the power to transcend substantive differences between Jews. What about more observant Jews and less observant Jews? Now, there are real differences there. It's not all just how you dress. Some people are more makbid in halacha, some people are less. How do they get along together? So the time of Chazal, it was tricky. Talmidei Chachamim knew the halachas of Tumah V'Tahara and Masrot, etc. The Ami Haaretz did not. And you couldn't really eat in other people's houses, v'chulei. Couldn't even touch their utensils because of the Tumah V'Tahara. But Yerushalayim Habnuya, Minyan I was at last night, said, Shira Malo Samachti Ba'omrim Li Beit Hashem Neilech, one of those beautiful Mizmorim Tehillim, Omdot HaYiraglenim Sharach Yerushalayim Habnuya Ki'ir Shechubra LaYachdav. They have two different famous chazals on this pasuk. But the Yerushalmi in Chagiga says, what is Ir Shechubra LaYachdav? The city, which is together, which is Mechubar, Ir Shenaset Ba'kol Yisrael Chaverim. The city where all Jews become Chaverim. Not only Chaverim, Jews are friends, but all Jews are Chaverim. Chaver was a technical term in those days for a Talmud Chacham, someone who kept a higher standard of religious observance. Outside of Yerushalayim, I have my level, you have your level, and maybe I can't eat by you. But in Yerushalayim, in the Regel, all religious differences, even the real substantive ones, even the ones that were there for a reason, were erased. I don't know how much the Amei Haaretz raised their standards when they came to Yerushalayim, or the Talmidei Chachamim compromised a bit when they came to Yerushalayim. Somehow, I'm sure it was, in reality, I'm sure it was some combination of the two. But in Yerushalayim, when the Jews come Aliyah L'Regel, Kol Yisrael Chaverim. There's no more difference between Jews. We're all just plain Jews. That's the uniqueness of Yerushalayim. And Ad Hayom Hazeh, you know, one of the beautiful parts of going to the Kotel is you go to the, you know, where used to, we all live in our own communities, in our own little cloistered worlds. You go to the Kotel and Minyan, Mincha, and the Minyan, you get all kinds of different Jews joining there, you know, whether they're wearing shorts or whether they're wearing a long frock, whatever color their kippah is, whatever color, size, and shape of their kippah, you know, one guy's in Madim and one guy's in a strimal. They're all davening together making a Minyan at the Kotel. The Kotel, no one worries, let's make a Minyan of only my type of Jew. Now, somehow people sense intuitively, even if they don't know why, that Yerushalayim habnuyaki ir shechubra layachdav, Yerushalayim is about Jewish unity. Now, is Jewish unity so simple? It's not always so simple. I think one of the great figures of Jewish unity in our history is the Jew who first founded Yerushalayim as Birat Yisrael and later as the Makom HaShem Nevchar HaShem, which is David HaMelech. A fascinating account Makor 26 in Shmuel Bet Perakei. Long before David had the idea of building a Mikdash in Yerushalayim, long before he first told Natan Navi, let me think about building a Mikdash, and certainly long before it was revealed to him that the Goren of Arvana HaYivusi would be the Makom HaShe Yivchar Hashem. David, why did he go to Yerushalayim? We have to read these psukim. Yavol kol shivtesh al David Chevron v'yomer limor hinenu atzmachov sarcha anachnu. All the Shvatim came to David in Chevron. His capital was always Chevron. Said, we're your flesh and blood. To us, that seems obvious. Of course, they're flesh and blood. They're all Jews. But it wasn't so obvious to them. Look at Sefer Shoftim. The tribes were fractured. They couldn't get along with one another. Each Shevet had their own derech. Finally, they come and say, David, we realize now that it's enough of this factionalism, sectarianism. We're all flesh and blood. We're all Klal Yisrael. Gamet mol kal shoshom biyotcha o melech aleinu tayitam otziyum eviyat Yisrael vayomar Hashem. Lecha atatiret amiyat Yisrael v'atatiyel negil Yisrael. Be our king. Vayvol kol yinei Yisrael l'melech chevrona v'echrod l'melech David brit b'chevron l'tnei Hashem v'ayim shechut David l'melech al Yisrael ben shloshim shana David mochar v'em shana malach. They crowned him in Chevron. He was 30 years old, reigned for 40 years. Where did he reign? If you stopped here, if I just hadn't given you another pasuk, you might think, if you didn't know a lot of history, he reigned in Chevron for 40 years. Why not? That was always his capital. That was where he came from. That was his makor. But no. Bechevron malach liyudah sheva shanim, v'shishah chadashim, uv'yushalayim malach, shloshim v'shalosh shana al kol Yisrael v'yudah. In Chevron, he reigned over Yehuda for 7.5 years. But in Yerushalayim, he reigned for 33 years. Apparently, when he stopped being merely the leader of Yehudah and became the king of Yisrael, Melech Yisrael, he moved to Yerushalayim. Why did he move to Yerushalayim? Why did he leave his homeland, his roots, his people, his advisors, his family, and move to Yerushalayim? What was in Yerushalayim? Doesn't say he, if he knew it was the Makom HaShev Har Hashem, he would have moved there a long time ago. He didn't move there for the Kedusha of Har Moriah. He hadn't had the idea of building a Beis HaMikdash yet. He moved there for a capital. Why in Yerushalayim? Why not in Chevron? The answer is clear. If David had taken them up on their offer to be king of Am Yisrael in Chevron, what message would he be sending? If you think about American history, right? Didn't they have a Havamina to make the capital in Philadelphia? Why didn't they make the capital in Philadelphia? Because then Pennsylvania would have said, we're the leading state. We're in charge of this country because we have the capital. That's not... If David had made his capital in Chevron, what would he have been saying? I'm the king over Yehuda in Chevron in the middle of Shevet Yehuda. And since Yehuda is the top Shevet and I'm Yisrael, so I'm the king of Yehuda and Yehuda is the rulers of Am Yisrael. My Shevet is the best Shevet and the leaders of Am Yisrael. That, they would have let David get away with that. But he knew it wouldn't work in the long term. We know, unfortunately, in the long term, Sefer Melachim, there was a lot of split between the Shvatim. In any case, what was the split? Going back to Chumash, the split was always between Bnei Leah and Bnei Rachel. Where's the borderline of Bnei Leah and Bnei Rachel, who had such trouble getting along from the time of Yaakov Avinu through almost the time of Korban Bayit Rishon? It was the border between Yehudah and Binyamin, because Menashe and Ephraim were north of Binyamin. Exactly the border between Yehudah and Binyamin was a no man's land which didn't favor either side. And that's where David decided to make his capital, in Yerushalayim. He said, Yerushalayim for me means, even at the cost of my sacrifice, hearkening back to Rashi. He had every right to build his capital in Chevron and be comfortable with it. But he said, Am Yisrael trumps what I have the right to do. I'm not only concerned about what my rights are, but what my responsibilities are. And he built his capital in Yerushalayim to make the statement that if I'm Melech Yisrael, I'm not, last words, Melech Yehuda v'Yisrael, I'm Melech al Yisrael v'Yehuda. Yisrael comes first and Yehuda second. If I am the king of Klal Yisrael, what faction I am comes second. Can you imagine? Nowadays, if Labor won the elections and they decided to make a government, then all of a sudden they say, even though we won the election, we can have the whole cabinet, but we're going to be a Klal Yisrael government, bring everyone into the cabinet. It would be laughable. But that's what David did. That's why David HaMelech is David HaMelech, and contemporary politicians are contemporary politicians. David HaMelech says, this is going to be a Klal Yisrael government, not a Shevet Yehuda government. And Rav Yuval Shurlo once pointed out, don't think he didn't pay a price. Anyone know the next historical event that happened in Chevron? It's Marker 27. Mered Avshalom. They rebelled against him in Chevron. Why do you think the people in Chevron rebelled? They were probably very disappointed that they had the opportunity to be the capital. And David left them for this Klal Yisrael idea that he got. So David paid very dearly, perhaps, for this decision. But it was worth it, because David knew the secret of Yerushalayim. From the moment David set foot in Yerushalayim, he said, what is Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim is the unifier of Klal Yisrael. Unifies us in Tefillah, unifies us in Torah, unifies us in Avodah, and makes the statement that more important than my type of Jew or your type of Jew is that we are all one Klal Yisrael. Today we celebrate 40 years to Ichud Yerushalayim. And on the one hand, Ichud Yerushalayim is an uvda, it's in the past. Politically, we unified Yerushalayim. It's all Baruch Hashem unified under Israeli rule. But maybe there's another drush meaning to Ichud Yerushalayim. Not just have we unified Yerushalayim, but has Yerushalayim unified us? To a certain extent, it has. You go to the Kotel and you feel that unity. But there's always more work to be done. So it's not just an uvda, a fact in the past. It's a challenge for the future. Ichud Yerushalayim, to remember what Yerushalayim is all about, to remember that we're all one Am Yisrael. That's much more important. Even if we have our derech, and maybe we're right. You're allowed to think you're right. But more important than who's right and wrong is that we're one Am Yisrael. That's what David HaMelech teaches us from Yerushalayim, which is lo nitchalka l'shvatim. So we should not lehechalek l'shvatim, but be one unified Klal Yisrael. Tadarabah.